been settled since your last meeting. They're all builder's risk claims, which are insurance claims that are, builder's risk is a component of our owner's controlled insurance program that the bond program oversees. And that ensures that all the contractors that we hire for our projects have the same insurance in place, that there's no gaps in coverage, and it's easier to administer for that reason. So that's what these four settlements, relate to, our insurance claims that were gathered by our contractors. Various issues that happened during the sanction of the, respective projects. The first one relates to a project at Andrews College, the student success. There was a rain event, and the project was partially flooded during construction. So the contractor did the work to repair the damage that was caused by the water intrusion event and tendered a claim to the builder's risk carrier. The contractors are also insured under these programs, and they were able to recover the full cost of the repairs. The next settlement, builder's risk settlement, pertains to the student union project here at Valley College that's been occupied. Actually, the next two settled claims relate to that. Both the water intrusion events, both related to unexpected rain last summer. We never get rain, and we certainly never get rain in the summer, so McCarthy was certainly surprised by this event. We did a thorough investigation to make sure on the second incident that they had, given the first one, that McCarthy had taken proper measures to protect the building because it was still open to the elements, because it was during the summer, and in terms of their construction schedule, wasn't that scheduled to be dry down. So they also fixed the damage that was created by these water intrusion events, and they tendered the claim to our builder's risk carrier. Our builder's risk carrier paid them exactly what they submitted because they were able to substantiate those claims and the amount of those claims. The last builder's risk claim pertains to a project at East LA College, the Performing Arts and Fine Arts Center. This one was also related to water intrusion in the building and the damage that was caused by that water intrusion. And we were, the district was a co-claimant in this. So the district and the contractor, as well as the district's overall OSIP carrier, were able to split the proceeds of this settlement with our builder's risk carrier, because the district had already paid some money towards the repairs of that building, as had our overall builder's risk, OSIP carrier, which is Ace Insurance in this case. So that is the way that settlement happened. Do you all have any questions regarding this?
So, community colleges can have paying for this.
Well, the bond program is part of our insurance program, and I'm sure you're familiar with insurance, homeowners, you know, auto. We have to pay a deductible in most cases, as we do on our personal insurance. So, the district, the bond has to pay deductibles for each one of these items. However, the last settlement, the last builder's risk settlement, we did not have to pay the deduction.
Question is, this from rain that was on the job site, or was water that washed from the campus into the job site?
These are all water intrusion events.
Yeah.
The first one was a rain event, and the contractor's sub had not done the proper things that they needed to do, although our contractors to be able to get numbers for their the money that they had to spend to fix the issues that were caused by the rain event. The two events here at Valley College, the Performing Arts Center, those were also rain events. The building was not yet enclosed during the summer, so they didn't have protective measures up during the summer, and we typically don't see rain here. And the last settlement regarding water intrusion was also related to rain events that got into the building. That caused water to get into the building.
Question. And it cost the district about $300 on the deductible portion.
Right.
If the contractor has any liability on their part, not the template correctly, why can it go back to not then?
Well, this is like any other insurance program that one would have in their, in, you know, personal things for their home, for example. If you do something as a homeowner that causes damage to your home, you can still get your insurance to cover it if it's an accident. If it's not because of a risk of danger. So, for example, and our insurance coverage does allow us to go up to the contractor if the contractor did something overtly or intentionally that caused the issue that gave rise to the insurance claim. In this case, in all of these cases, it was rape. And protective measures were put up in most of these cases, but the rain was harder than what we expected. In the case of McCarthy, for example, the second rain event, they actually had people on their staff on call because rain was forecasted to go into the building over the weekend if a rain event happened to try to bail out as much water as they could. They did, but again, that rain event is so dramatic that the rain event that they think you have preventative damage that was caused.
Sure. If the subcontractor did not do what they're supposed to, do they have any liability?
That would be between the contractor and the subcontractor. So the contractor is who is insured through this program, and it was the contractor that submitted the claim to our building superior. What would be up to the contractor in that case to decide whether or not they want to go after the contractor to cover any damages that they sustained that weren't covered by the settlement that they were responsible for?
Well, we pay for the district pays the pay the deductible.
Correct, but we don't have a contract with the subcontractor.
If it would help, the OSIP insurance is in lieu of the individual contractors having their own policy. So it's bought to cover the whole program for two reasons. One, it's substantially cheaper than what you would pay if each contractor had their own. And two, there are a lot of contractors that we want to work on the project who aren't able to get the level of insurance that we would require, so this gives an insurance. So even though there is a deductible, in the end, the aggregate is cheaper than individual general contractors having insurance.
Not to mention the administration. It would take if each individual contractor brought to the table their own insurance coverage, and we did an analysis of this before the board approved us moving forward with another OSIP program. Yeah. It would have cost the district a lot more money between the staff that the program would have had to hire to administer a new OSIP program, and as Paul mentioned, the individual premiums charges for as part of the proposals for the project. So it's an overall, from a cost perspective, from a risk management perspective, the OSIP program is the better way to go. With broad deductibles, that's with any insurance program that one has, that the district has to pay.
So not everybody's familiar with what the OSIP term is, and can you just kind of explain how that, I know Paul explained a little bit.
Sure.
You know, over the years, you know, how we've evolved.
Sure. As far as I know, the district, since the bond program began, has always had an owner-controlled insurance program. We've had three different programs because, as with any other district contract, we have to recompete this opportunity, or the district does, every 5 years. So we're now in our third OSIP. The OSIP covers, through the builder's risk piece of the insurance, any damage that is caused during the construction of a project. The other piece of the OSIP is covers workers' comp claims. So if a worker is hurt during the construction of the project, they can tender their claim to our OSIP carrier, and we have folks that investigate those claims, of course. And it also covers general property damage as well.
Yeah, the reason for my question is rains were forecasted heavily.
Yes.
Okay. Did the contractor do a reasonable preamp.
Yes.
And that was the reason for my question.
Correct.
If that is yes, that's fine.
Yeah, and we always ask that question of our OSIP adjuster whenever there's a rain event. That was forecasted, for which the district is going to have to pay towards the settlement out through the deductible. We always ask the adjuster to confirm that the contractor took the reasonable measures in the forecast. And I'll just say that.
Sorry, but I guess my question was, in the first one you said the contractor did, but the subcontractor did not. So how is it that they took every reasonable precaution? If the subcontractor did not, then in essence the contractor did not.
Right.
So how is it the district under the hook for what? In essence, if the contractor is responsible for the subcontractor's behavior, they did not do their due diligence, then aren't they on the hook?
The contractor could take it up with the sub, because I failed to mention, the contractor also puts forth some money towards the deal.
Exploring that a little farther, the district only has a contract with the prime.
Correct.
What difference is it? He has a sub or if he doesn't, he's on the hook. That's what I think his point was.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
And I didn't understand your answer to that.
Yeah. So the again, our adjuster looks into this to make sure that reasonable measures are taken. And in the subcontractor's case here, it wasn't that they were being reckless or they didn't completely disregard what, you know, they should have done, but they could have done more. Just like with a home, you know, maybe we should have put more sandbags out there before a certain rain event happened, and we didn't. Yet our insurance will cover any damage that's caused by that, and we also have to pay a deductible, so it's analogous to that situation.
So, and just to point out that the contractor's not totally off the hook, because they have to pay part of the part of that deductible. You know, they're responsible for part of it, so some of the money comes out of their pocket.
Yeah.
That was my question, because I didn't hear that they had paid anything.
Oh, yeah. I failed to mention that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They do have to pay.
Are there any other questions? Okay, that was a good report. Thank you. So I think if it's all right with everybody, we'll take a 5-minute break. If you want to get some lunch, but go ahead. Whoever wants to eat, we can eat during the week. So just 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like a knock.
Yeah.
Soap opera.
Yeah. All right.
thing in the back.
It's like 3 miles from here.
And you stay to the left.
It's a left hand exit.
If you go to the right, you go on the 101.
He's got a
right by
everybody's out.
Disney Studios and Fort Drum working with Jackson Ferry.
I understand.
I just barely.
Not fun.
No, that's the Burbank one. Oh, yeah. There's a
Fort Drum. But I do remember that you're right. They said you know. Yeah. That was
no, that's
Burbank.
You know how to get on the 133.
Too many numbers.
281. 213-891.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really?
So now I've got too many numbers.
So you know where the
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
You know,
once I got past the accident.
Oh, really?
It was okay.
I have
no
idea. I didn't
call you. Don't have to.
Okay.
Do you want to everybody else? Well,
regardless of the time of day.
Okay.
Or
on the table, okay.
Does it tell you for
I won't be doing that, but that's manager.
Right.
Yeah, and
no. You're a member, I'm just a step in that.
Nothing looks good, right? Travel.
Right?
Mom
would never.
Thank
you. There's always something lost in the translation, too. You know, it doesn't get lost.
You're not used to giving the information, but even once you get it, you can send it to the computer on the station.
We went around the table. Everybody.
Did you sign in time?
I didn't like it.
Paul, how are you? Good, how are you?
Good to see you.
Amen.
Nothing to do with war.
Yeah, right. Welcome to my world.
Yeah, this is a
bigger fire hose than I thought I would be drinking out of.
That's the publisher.
Oh, my God. Okay, about one more minute. We're going to go ahead and start.
How are you?
But I can get you bigger files on the phone.
Okay, that's the best one. So I'll check out the website. High resolution.
Yes.
All right, we're going to go ahead and start, but please don't hurry over there. You can still hear us. We're going to go back for 1 second on the minutes. We approved the minutes that we got, but Lori has added one other thing, and I want to make sure it's legitimate in what we approved. On the second page of the minutes, I'm sorry, third page of the minutes, he indicated that the state is considering placing a statewide bond on the November ballot that would authorize $9 billion, and what was added was in general obligation bonds, $2 billion of which would be directed toward community colleges. So let's do another motion, if you would, to approve the minutes, or we'll do that, and if there's any questions.
After the original motion, I'll accept the addition.
Okay. Second? Were there any questions about the addition? Okay, great. Then they stand approved as read. Thank you. All right, our chancellor will give his report now.
Yes, thank you. Let me start by congratulating Obi. I heard that she should be sitting here, head of the table. Man in control. I appreciate being here and seeing all of you, and thank you for some coming on our very compacted agenda. Apologies for being a few minutes late as well. I returned from a very good visit. I was at the Workforce Education Workforce Development Council of the LA Chamber of Commerce, where they were taking up whether they would endorse our bond or not. So I was asked to make a presentation, and I'm happy to report that they endorsed the bond. So they will now go to the full LA Chamber body. And it's unusual that they would turn that around, but that is the recommendation that the community is putting forth. So perhaps I'll start. End with that and come back to just a couple of other pieces of information that might be useful given the general district by report. We began classes on August the 20th. And this year, we have a lot of exciting things as we open up online colleges and our education centers. We have 200 new full-time tenure track faculty with us, and that is the result of some robust hiring during the spring, and we give an opportunity both for new faculty to join us and to replace faculty positions that are being introduced at the same time. And just to give you a sense of that, I mentioned this I think last time, typically we hire between 80 and 100. That would be a normal year. So that's twice what a normal number is. And then last year, for the fall of 15 classes, we hired 162. So if you kind of put those numbers together, that's close to 25% of the entire full-time faculty corps in 2 years that we have been recruited and or replaced. And that's significant. We view that as a wonderful opportunity to continue to replenish, if you will, our educational core. And let me say this, the interest in and support for community college teaching has never been stronger. In a handful of areas that we have fewer applicants, very specialized areas where, particularly in the career and technical recording. Education yes. areas, where the industry commands stronger salaries than what we're offering. Our entering salary, roughly speaking, is $86,000. With more education, it can go up from there. But that was for an initial first year tenure track position, that's a very, very good salary. Puts us somewhere in the 75th percentile, closer to 80 now, with competing districts in the area. So we're very competitive. Our healthcare package attracts a lot of folks as well, so it's solid. And the quality of persons in those pools, by and large, continues to be strong. And that's very good. That's something that we need to pay attention to. Ultimately, we have to be very mindful of who is in front of students like Brian and others who are teaching and who are investing in the future of our students. They're putting stronger support towards professional development activities, to establish a professional development college, to have our faculty remain robust technology tools to really get about their disciplines, and more faculty looking towards online or hybrid teaching as well. So the teaching world is evolving, changing, and I bring good news that the quality of instructors that we continue to attract in our district is strong. And that's ultimately, there's no stronger student success tool than the covenant between a faculty member and his or her student. That's it. The rest of us provide support facilities and student support services, infrastructure, campus safety, all those other things, administration, you know, all those support for learning enterprise. There's no more important covenant than that. That's why we pay a lot of attention to that. And I'm happy to report that we've got strong results in that regard. Also, I also wanted to mention just by way of just a general updates about the district. The national narrative, as I touched on last time, has never been stronger for community colleges. So we're going to ride this wave as long as we can. This benefit of, support for, advocacy of, and interest in just public higher education in general as a way to the middle class, as a way for families to remove themselves from poverty, as a way to retrain persons who have been perhaps underemployed or laid off from other positions to redirect some of their energies. Maybe it's good to know that over 10% of our student body already has their bachelor's degrees. People coming back to us. So we, in that wide swath of students that we serve, it's important to know that there is a very, very continuous strong interest. So that's translated to more federal support, opportunities for grants, opportunities for us to bolster our base, if you will. I mentioned bachelor's degrees just a moment ago, and this fall we begin our manifestation of our very first four-year degree at LACC. West Los Angeles College will begin their Bachelor of Science in Dental Hygiene in less than 2 weeks. The class of 45 will be the pilot. We were authorized through Senate Bill 850, and 15 districts were given this authority, if you will. Because the authority for four-year degrees is given to the CSU and UC publicly. But we were given this exception, the 15 pilots, if you will, and we are launched. And we are looking forward to that interest. What's super neat about this package is that students, and we received over 800 inquiries within weeks of this announcement for a class of 45. Persons will be able to receive a full four-year degree for a total cost of tuition of $10,400.
Wow.
The same degree, Bachelor's of Science degree at USC, $84,000. Mm-hmm. So there's a value proposition here that is pretty obvious. And for the reasons of investments in the communities that we serve, value investments, strong teaching, it's really led us to have a very kind of easy narrative about why to invest in the community. Our foundation very soon, and we've got representatives here from our foundation who will be receiving gifts formally. The board approved one, and another will be coming soon. Initially $2 million to help our nursing students. And we crank out in our 7 schools of nursing close to 500 degrees every year of nurses. And as you know, the 2-year schools, we produce 80% of the first responders, 80% of the nurses, 80% of the persons engaged in the emergency, what's they call it, called technicians, the guys that run around the ambulances, EMTs, thank you, nurse medical technicians, et cetera. And we're a large proportion of that. So we found a benefactor, if you will, or someone, a philanthropist who said, we want to support us because we need more help in this community. And the board acted formally last Wednesday to accept a $2 million grant. And we're city college for music scholarships. And we're going to announce that publicly August the 21st. That to be maybe not minutes. Not to yourselves, your minutes, but because the outlet fan is actually very quiet about this, but I have to tell you.
I got one.
You got one. Mr. Opper and his family has been supporting LACC for a very long time, and they found it fit to endow scholarships for all entry music students at LACC. So that's a fantastic proposition. We're proud. And we will rename the facility, and we will rename the recital hall inside the facility to the family's name, and we'll probably do so. So again, and the story is investment, excellent value, reaching out, serving our community. It's the same story that we're, that's why we're all running this table. So we're very happy about that. So we got some wind in our sail here. So our challenge is now the board is, has very high expectations so just to continue to do so. And we lots of good folks that are interested in investing in the district. We hired and he has begun his position as the district director of institutional advancement. We'll continue for us to look for these opportunities to leverage and support the success of our students. So very, very happy to report that. Now, lastly, the bond. The board on July 20th took formal action to authorize through resolution the placement of a November 2016 facilities bond on the November 2016 ballot. Discussions took place and ensued about the amount of the bond, but ultimately the board settled on $3.3 billion. It was the largest single bond amount this district will pursue. 3.25 was the previous high in 2008. And it will provide direct support in construction of high priority facilities across the 9 colleges and allow us to also take care of some very important infrastructure needs, campus safety needs, roadways, and all those other areas that, you know, in review around this table. And so that's very, very good news. We concurrently conducted a couple of opinion polls to get a sense of where the first, there's a sense from the general public, who's high propensity voters, whether there's a perceived need that the district has, one. And the second, if so, what would they be willing to support? And I'll just give you some interesting data of Los Angeles and our 900 square mile service area and our 40 cities that we touch, and 11 school districts that feed our districts, and 5.2 million residents. The assessed valuation is enormous in that area, enormous. So because of that, we're able to get a lot of value out of a maximum of $25 per $100,000 assessed valuation. That's the legal limit. This 3.3 would place the bond, and Mr. Jeter correct me, at $15 per $100,000 AV. And that's so it's prudent. If we would have extended the legal limit to 25, the bond placement would have been at $5.5 billion. So it gives you a sense, but we came back, the board decided that let's take care of the highest priorities first. If we need to come back to the voters later, we will. Well, when we tested the motion, we tested various numbers. The higher the dollar amount got, the more people liked it. I've never seen that before. But this, it clipped well over 65% and into the 70% as we asked about whether they're likely or will support this activity. As you're aware, Prop 39 from the law that passed requires a 55% threshold. So we're well above that as a running start. There is a committee that's been formed outside of the district of individuals who are interested in supporting us. I'll name them the honorary co-chairs of the Campaign for Student Success. And a letter has not been assigned yet. We have submitted that to the county registrar. Mr. Jeter took hand-delivered the documents, so I know they're there. We've not been assigned a letter. We have requested Measure A, Measure S, as in Student Success, A, because it's if it's a long ballot, you want to be near the top of the ballot. That's what most people say. And we've had good luck with A and AA. And everyone wants an A. And we don't want a D. But then CC if those aren't available for obviously community college. So polls are strong, measures are in, and there's the way the ballot will be written is a general series of improvements. The language will be very, very familiar with that. And I'll just mention again, it's inappropriate in a public meeting here in College Times to talk about endorsing or not. That's not appropriate, so I won't ask you to do that. But the way of information, the persons who are reading the honorary co-chairs are Charlie Wu, Richard Slauson, who was part of this party for many years, supervisor Yvonne Burke, Lupita Sanchez Cornejo, and Gary Tobin, CEO of LHM, very robust and influential and important group that will hold that process separate, and on this course separate from the district, accountable and moving forward. So that's on the November ballot. You'll see a lot more information about that. We're fine-tuning the list, if you will, so that when asked, we can produce very detailed lists. When we did our needs assessment, and I'll end with this and see if you have any questions. Our needs was anywhere between $5 and $7 billion. That's a very comprehensive 6-month review, vetted through the campuses, laid it against the campuses, master plan, facilities, and future growth. And then obviously the 3.3 of the highest priorities, I think we can do good work with that. Obviously, it's a lot of money. We'll establish a body, if you will. We expect this work to finish, Paul may help me, I think it's 2018, maybe a couple of projects in 2019 will be complete. We have about $900 million left in the issuance. We're anticipating 3 additional issuances between now and then. We're doing some bond refinancing, exploring that now. The market's particularly good for bond refinancing right now, which would, in our initial analysis, return, we think, about $38 million to the taxpayer for the life of the bond, which is very good. Very favorable ratings. As you know, we have the highest ratings. The Moody's and Standard & Poor's are public ratings that we have. And we're happy about that. And you have allowed us, through your support and diligence and tutelage, for us to get that. So we thank you for that. I thank you for that. The taxpayer. And I'm an LA taxpayer now. I see my bill, I said, okay, everybody together now. So that's where we're at, and I'm happy to respond to any questions that you may have.
What the chancellor didn't mention, he's like being a principal in a school, I really feel that the chancellor sets the tone for everything that's going on in the whole district, and there is a sense of excitement in the colleges. When you talk to students, when you talk to the presidents, the teachers, everybody's very excited. I don't see this bond having any trouble passing, so thank you for all your work. Are there any questions? Now's your chance. You know, every 2 months you get to ask the question you've been thinking about. Okay. Great. Well,
thank you.
Where's Ben?
There he is.
He's going to give a report on the status of the annual report.
Hi, this is Frank Padilla, Admin Analyst, Facilities Planning and Development Department. I just want to touch base on the annual report at that time again to produce it. So the fiscal year closed, 15-16 is closed now. We've started to pull the numbers, the financials, the books are closed, we're pulling those numbers, and requesting additional information that typically goes in the report. At the last DCOC meeting, Mr. Schwartz, Mr. Cook, and Mr. Sanchez expressed interest in helping in creating the annual report and putting it out. So I welcome that participation and look eager to get that feedback. I'll contact you all and we can set up a meeting to go over what the last report looked like, any tweaks you want to do and make sure that we can do that. I'm open to any feedback you all have. If there's anybody else that wasn't at the last meeting that is interested in participating in the annual report, please let me know. I believe we can't get too many members together at once. That's correct, Mr. Jeter?
That's right. A meeting, if it's a majority, so we have 6 for a quorum.
And so it would be more than five, you should be okay.
Okay.
What's the total membership?
11. There are 10.
10.
So, yeah. Five would be
okay. Five would be the next. Okay.
Five would be the next.
All right, perfect. So if anybody's interested, I'll give all the members my card after the meeting, and then you can contact me. And we'll just make sure to keep it at a maximum of five. So I look forward again to getting your feedback. We should have it finalized by the next meeting for everybody to take action on it and adopt it. So
I would like to add something. You know, Frank used to work for LAUSD, and he was involved with their DCOC at LAUSD. And so when he came to us, I thought, great, we'll go ahead and help us with the DCOC. So he brings a strong background.
All right, Frank, thank you. So if anybody is interested in being on that, Dan had mentioned he really wants to help again with that. He said it's fairly easy because the staff does pretty much all the work. And you get to just put your input and make sure things are done. So thank you. Right. Is there any old business? Okay, any new business? All right, great. I guess we are able to do a tour of the college. Are they?
Let me check. They were supposed to be here.
Yeah, Enrique just went to go.
So they should be here pretty quick. And it'll be a walking tour today. We will go out around some of the different buildings that we built, and it's been a while since we've been to this campus, so I think you'll see a lot of change. If you were here at this campus before, you'll see a lot of new things.
Okay, we'll take a motion to adjourn, and then if you haven't gone on the tour, if you're fairly new, they really are worthwhile. We'll come back a lot smarter in the discussion, so try to stay for that. We could have a motion to adjourn.
So second.
Nobody's opposed. Thank you very much, everybody. And thank you for all your work. You always make it so nice.
You're welcome.
Okay.
We apologize.